What's going on? What's going on? We're back. We're back in full effect. Listen, this is Men on the Block. WRU LP Savannah, Georgia, 107.5. WRU.org, Savannah Soundings Community Radio with the Global Soul. Like I said, I'm your host of Men on the Block, Lorenzo Ross, God's Band. Listen, as Dr. J said earlier, I ain't going through all that stuff again. I'm going to read the disclaimer. Hold on. The viewpoints expressed in the following program are not necessarily those of WRU as license holder or its staff. So we have been talking a lot about the issue surrounding, not just with Megan Thee Stallion, but just, you know, the issue surrounding her with that whole thing about her boyfriend. Are they still together, by the way? Did they break up?
No, and I don't even know that they were...
A couple.
Right, they were dealing with each other. Yeah. I really don't even know that part, but yeah. I don't think, like, prior to that, I think there had been rumors and suspicions, but mm-hmm. at no point had they said, this is an official couple. Like, okay. We're out together.
Okay.
You know, so I think that fed some of the speculation.
I forgot the lady's name. She says, she was vulgar when she said it. She said, oh, yeah, that's just my buddy. But she was talking
right.
about something.
Yeah,
else.
I got you. Yeah.
I forgot what it was. This is a famous radio host who said that. She was being interviewed one time and she said that. So I was just curious. I don't know what made me even think about it. Like, did they try to work it out, work through it, or anything like that? Of course, the significance of the conversation, again, is, as you said earlier, Dr. J, about the position that our black women are put in. And I keep, and I'm going to say this, it's hard for me even to look at you and talk about it because you're a black woman and understanding. And I do the same thing with my wife, the understanding the hurt and the pain that I could have caused as a result of the things I've done, quote unquote, as a black man. But not just that, understanding that it's a tough comment. I feel as if I get that there's a certain limit to how much I can protect you from without me losing my own life.
Mm-hmm.
That sucks.
And we're aware of that limit too.
Yeah. You know,
yeah,
yes,
we're
exactly.
aware of it too. Yeah.
And so that's when it really sucks. Somebody shared this before. There was a video. I never watched it. By the way, I meant to tell you, you have rubbed off on me on that. I no longer watch. You call it a term. The videos.
Trauma porn.
Yes. There you go.
I don't watch it.
Yeah,
I can't.
Yeah. So actually, I haven't watched the Jacob Lacey one. I haven't even mm-hmm. watched that one. Mm-hmm. I haven't watched that either. Jacob Blake. I'm sorry, I said Lacey. Who's Jacob Lacey? That's one of our students, probably. But Jacob Blake. I hadn't watched that either. But there was a video that came out one time where a couple was in a fight. I don't know if you remember seeing this. I don't think I watched this video. I just remember reading about it. Couple came out there in a fight. I think it was a white couple in a fight, and the black guy is there, and he's trying to help the woman. He's trying to help her
mm-hmm.
because the white guy was on. They arrest the black guy.
Yeah.
I was just like, dude, you know, here mm-hmm. he is trying to exercise this whole thing. Mm-hmm. I got to be the protector. And it was a white woman trying to be protector, and he ended up getting arrested for
right.
it. Yeah, it's crazy. And the white guy actually fled the scene.
Yeah.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, but I said, there's a black guy trying to protect, you know, quote unquote,
a woman.
But a woman just period.
Yeah.
You know, and it's sad that we're in that position. And as you said earlier, too, when it comes to Megan Thee Stallion, feel the need and the responsibility that, man, I got to protect him. That's really, really, really bad.
Not a father, not a brother, yeah. not a relative, not a husband, just a black man, yeah. period, because of how the police are killing black people. And I know people who are, you know, doing the eye roll right now are saying, no, because they kill more white people. Well,
oh, I hate that.
You
phrase.
Know, here's the thing. And I'm, you know, if you want to ride off on emotion and not actually deal with logic, statistics and truth, you can go ahead and tune out now.
Yeah.
Okay. Because the truth of the matter is we only make up, what is it now? 13% of the population. So anytime we look at anything and we're looking at it according to race, a perfect correlation would mean that we would make up that exact same percentage in any group.
Mm.
If we look at students, about 13% of all gifted students students identified as gifted, let me say that, are Black. Yeah. Oh, about 13% of all students suspended and expelled are Black. Oh, about 13% of all people with college degree. It would be a perfect correlation. Perfect. Yep. So let's look at the number of Black people incarcerated in America. Mm. What are we looking at? 13%? No. Okay. More, we make more. Up more. So yes, 60%. You might say, yeah, but there are more white people. Yes. But when we make up 37, I think was the last statistic that I saw, 37% of everybody incarcerated, but only 13% of the population, something's wrong. Yeah. So when you look at the number of people killed by police by race, if the percentage of Black people killed by police by race is more than 13%, we have a problem. Police brutality is a problem for everyone. And I hate that it has been polarized as a racial issue, because I've seen the videos where they've hurt and killed unarmed white people, Hispanic people, Asian people. The police are the problem. It requires more training. It requires more something. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's just not happening. But for her to be so aware that she knew, even though this was not a Black man she was obligated to in any significant way, this is not my father, this is not my brother, this is not my blood relative, this is not my spouse, this is not my son, she's still looking at a Black man like, oh no. Yeah. And I'm saying Black women have carried that burden. And so let's say for you as a father, mm-hmm. in that position, as a son, as a husband, right? Your wife, your daughter, your mother, anybody, any female, any woman you care about comes to you and is hurt by a person. And you're part of your, like you said, you're built to be a protector. Yep. You're supposed to go handle that.
Yeah.
Let's say you don't. Let's say, you know, you say, okay, I know I'm supposed to handle it, but I'm going to let the justice system handle it. Not because I'm weak and crazy, but because I actually want to be here. Right. Mm-hmm. I want to stay here. I want to stay alive to help them, be here with them. I want to stay out of jail. I think men run the risk of feeling like their manhood then comes into question because of what he didn't do, that he didn't handle it a certain way.
Yeah.
And so we're even trying to protect you from even having to deal with the feeling.
Feeling, yeah.
There was a movie. What was his name? Barbara Streisand and Nick. Nick. He was so popular a few years back. I can't remember. But anyway, I could probably look it up. Hmm. So what happens in this movie, he's a little boy. Uh-huh. He's going to see her. I think she is his psychologist. Uh-huh. He's going to counseling. As a young boy, he and his mother, his sister, and his brother are at home. They're just at home. Or it's either him and his sister and his mother. Their dad's out. I think dad's working or whatever. Mm-hmm. Not like away for a week, but he's just at work. Men break out of jail, find their home somehow while they're on the run. They attack everybody in the family. The son, they attack and rape everybody in the family.
Oh, wow.
The son, the daughter, the mother, everybody. They don't kill anybody, though. When they have violated them and left because they're on the run, the mother frantically cleans up and makes everybody clean up and do not tell your father, do not tell your father. And they dress, and then one of the next scenes is they're all at dinner quietly eating. Just he's unaware of what has happened to his family. Unaware.
Wow. Well, yeah.
He wasn't going to go get him, I don't think. Right. But she didn't even want him to have to deal with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, and the movie wasn't because he was some stand up guy, because I got the feeling in that scene that he might have been violent himself or abused alcohol or abused them or whatever. But I'm saying it was polarized in that moment. Like, we can't tell him.
Yeah. Yeah. So and that's why I think the tough part comes in that, though, is that how our women can be. Oh no, we can be victimized. Our women can be victimized in a way and just treated in such a way. And then we feel the hurt or the danger of trying to come to a rescue, knowing that, man, end of the day, what can happen to us if we do so? And you take that in light of, go ahead.
Nick Nolte.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got it. You got it. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
You had to get that.
I had to get it out. The Prince of Tides, I Prince think, was Tides. The name yeah, of the movie. Yeah. Oh, okay, go ahead.
That. Yeah, I do remember that. No, but when you consider, you know, everything that's going on today. So I want to say this, because if I don't mention this, it's because you and I haven't talked about this. I know we talk about everything at work, but we hadn't talked about this. Okay. We hadn't talked about this. It's kind of off the subject, but I want to bring it up real quick, because this is like heavy for me right now. My phone died. You're familiar with the incident that just happened, of course, in Kenosha, with Jacob Blake and everything, mm-hmm. With the riot mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. But the young man who had the assault rifle and everything, right? I'm sure you're familiar with all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched part of, and again, I'm not trying to make this political in the moment, but just the picture of it for me. Our show is called Men on the Block, where we discuss things from a man perspective and things that deal with men, directly with men. I watched part of the RNC. I don't know if you watched any of it. I did. So I like to hear.
I understand.
So I watched it. And so not all of it, of course, not every night, but I watched some of it. And so in particular, one thing that I watched was when, I'm saying this because I know there's a friend of mine who's, I know is listening, and he and I have go back and forth about some things. So I'm not saying this is not about quote unquote our president.
Mm-hmm.
It's just to me, I'm using this as a litmus test to me for us to know the tone of the society we're in right now. So he goes on the RNC and he's asked about what happened in Kenosha, and he uses this response. He says, and I'm quoting, it was not a good sight. That's what he said. I'm quoting. It was not a good sight.
Jesus.
Right?
Uh-huh.
So then when I think it was, and I could be wrong, I know the guy had his uniform on, but I think they introduced him as the chief of police up there. They asked him about the young man with the rifle. I can't quote it because he said a lot, but the emphasis of what he said was a person walking down the street with a rifle with his hands up is of no threat. That's what the police officer said. No, I'm not saying, again, I think he was the chief. I'm not sure. I know he was an older gentleman, mm-hmm. but I missed the introduction. So I'm not sure mm-hmm. what his position was. Mm-hmm. But and I'm not saying I think he was police. He had his uniform on. So he was definitely a police officer. He says a young man walking down the street with a rifle, with his hands up, he is of no threat, is what he said. Right? So I'm going to personalize it. I am roughly 5'10", 5'11", 210, 215, roughly in between that. Bald head, no beard right now, but I used to have a beard, beard mustache, right? I like to work out a little bit, so I could look kind of fit, depending on what I got on, right? So you're supposed to agree. Anyway, don't agree.
I'm nodding.
No, anyway, my wife is, she's going to hit the like button of light right now. But anyway, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, what year was the eclipse? You remember when it was? I don't remember when it was. Whatever year the eclipse was, a friend of mine who happens to be 6'4", roughly 250 at the time. He's lost a lot of weight now. 250 at the time. We were standing in front of Kroger, and he was just coming out of the store, and I was about to go in the store. Literally, I'm not even exaggerating. Got out my car. Walking up to Kroger, a friend of mine is coming out of Kroger. We meet right at the middle up there in front of the store. Hey, man, what's up? Not much, low. Had to pick up a couple of things while I was still. Man, what you doing, man? I'm just getting in. I think we had practice or something that night. Just getting in from practice, yada, yada. Literally, it was this quick, too. So I'm not even exaggerating on the time. Yeah, man, just getting in practice. Man, what you been up to? Man, I was just listening to something in my car, on the radio, whatever, right? Immediately, this police officer comes up to us. He tells my partner, he says, hey, sir, can I look in your bag? My partner, I'm serious. Yeah, you give me the scrunch face. My partner says, no, you can't look in my bag. What you want to look in my bag for? He says, well, we've had some people up here who have been selling illegal eclipse glasses. Eclipse glasses, right? My partner's like, they ain't me. And he says, I say, man, we ain't seen nobody up here. We haven't seen anybody up here. How long y'all been standing up here? Well, we just got here, but we hadn't seen anybody who's
right.
We hadn't seen anybody. The guy gets on his radio and calls it in and says, I think I got him right here.
Wow.
Yes. Seriously. Like, I'm not making it up. He says, I think I got him right here. I looked at him. Now, again, so I'm half of 100. Back then, I wasn't quite half of 100 mm-hmm. yet. So once you reach half of 100, you know, your temperament kind of supposed to change a little bit.
Okay.
So I'm going to count it as an excuse. But my response was probably what the 22-year-old response would have been, who just got pulled over for a busted taillight, but you're searching my car for drugs. Mm-hmm. I'm going in the grocery store because I'm going to pick up some bread, milk, and sugar or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you're telling me I'm being accused of selling illegal eclipse eyeglasses, and I'm 40 something years old, for one. And I know some people say, well, that shouldn't matter a whole lot, but I say this, he calls it in. I tell the guy, I said, man, you have lost your, and I go off, what are you talking about? You got what? You ain't got nothing. You know, I started telling this guy, what are you, you ain't got anything. He calls in the other police officer. The other police officer comes up. Well, it just so happened the good friend that I was standing there with works at FLETC, which is the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center.
Wow.
So he takes him over to the side. He says, I couldn't hear their conversation. However, the police officer who's standing there with me, I'm going in because I'm hot. Mm-hmm. Dude, you're tripping. Mm-hmm. This is the wrong one. I'm going in. And as I'm walking, I know people on the air can't see what I'm doing, but as I'm talking to you, know me, I'm animated, right? So I'm using my hands like, dude, what are you doing? And he's standing here looking at me like he ready to grab my hands, like he ready to take me down or whatever. Dude, I'm hot, right? So the conversation my partner had with the other police officer might have lasted about a minute and a half or so. The other police officer comes back. He said, oh, man, we got the wrong ones. Like that, right? Let's go. We got the wrong ones, right? So it happened just like that. I didn't have a gun. I didn't have anything in my right. hand. Right. My partner had a bag coming out of Kroger in his hand.
Right.
But we were considered a threat. But yet a young man, 17 years old, running down the street in Kenosha while there's rioting going on, he's not a threat. I'm confused. Let alone this same police we're talking about today, the same police officer who stopped us that night is now in jail. He went to prison for messing with young girls.
Wow.
But I was a threat.
Mm-hmm.
My partner Terry was a threat for mm-hmm. selling Eclipse. Illegal eclipse eyeglasses or whatever. But there are so many people who our peers and our counterparts, who of course don't look like us, that are white male stuff, but they're not considered a threat
right.
with a rifle.
And because we know that, right? Uh-huh. So the black man, the reason for the riot, black man shot in the back 7 times.
Right.
White man with gun walking down the street, not stopped, kills 2 people. Like,
no.
So we all see it. Meg sees it.
I'm sorry. I'm about to. Oh, I got to get a little bit more because I watched a guy talk about it on this interview. He says this. Mind you, I'm not trying to pick. Do you know how old the kid was with the gun, with the rifle? He was 17.
17. Mm-hmm.
He's not even supposed to have it anyway.
Right.
But he's 17. Do you know a person who was interviewed talking about it says this? I almost had his name. I can see his face. Can't think of his name. But he was talking about it. He said this. This joker said that, well, he was only 17 with it, and we know it's illegal for him to have it. However, if he felt threatened for his life, it was a, huh? I'm confused.
If you were concerned about that, you didn't have to be down there. So the riots weren't in your front yard.
That was my reply. My reply was, and I said that, my reply was, again, if it was a dangerous situation anyway, why was he there? He didn't right. have to be
he
there.
He didn't have to be there.
Let alone he went there with a rifle.
Mm-hmm.
So we can talk about intent and all that kind of, all that other stuff we want to, but he went there with a rifle. For whatever reason. Now, his argument was that he was going to make peace. but he went with a rifle. Again, I bring this up to say, not just to emphasize, you know, him and just that situation. However, on the flip side, here's a guy on his side, they're saying he wasn't a threat. But because I'm 5'10", 5'11", whatever, 215 pounds, black male, I'm a threat.
Right.
That make,
and that lack of logic, we all get. So not only does the PhD get it at a university, not only do teachers get it,
yeah,
the rappers get it. Meg Thee Stallion gets it.
Yeah.
She gets that there is no, yes, sir, officer, there are weapons in the car, and we might survive, really? With no weapons, we get shot in the back seven times. In the back seven times.
Back, yeah.
Run, no matter the crime, running away, we get shot and weapons get planted on us. Thank God for video.
Videos, yeah.
So everybody gets that. This is not about being educated. This is not about a certain level of. We all get the illogical nature of how laws are applied.
Mm-hmm.
We all get the fear that generally exists in America of black people, even though we're not the ones who subjugated a whole nother race for centuries,
right.
Even though we were not the ones who caused the Trail of Tears, even though we're not the ones who have almost totally annihilated whole races.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You're afraid, whatever.
Yeah.
But everybody gets that.
Yeah.
And also, she's no dummy. She is a college student and doesn't have to be, meaning most people say, oh, we're going to go to college. You know, you make a good living, you get money. She's got that.
Yeah.
Because her record deal was not the best, and it usually isn't when you're new to the game. But that's why Beyonce did the remix with her of Savage, because she wanted to make sure she got paid, and she did.
Wow. Didn't
so
know
she
that.
Doesn't need the.
Oh my
the,
gosh. I think I just started liking Beyonce.
You
now.
See what I'm saying?
But
black is king. She Beyonce does a lot for the culture.
Oh,
I mean,
no,
you know,
I
got
say
you.
Listen to you. I just don't listen to
yeah.
her.
I can't name, but yeah,
awesome.
So that's why, like, you know, she did that. And so everybody gets the message. So now here I am. I'm shot. I'm in a car. We have a situation. I'm in a car with black people.
Yeah.
You want me to call the cops? Yeah. There are weapons, and I'm bleeding. And you want me to call the cops? No. So I can't.
Well. Yeah.
Now, somehow, they do get called, but it's, oh, I don't know, accident. However it works out, she did get to the hospital and get medical attention. Thank God, no permanent damage. Thank God. Even after that, she held her tongue.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That part right there where she said, I owe this man nothing. I'm not obligated to protect him. There's nothing about that. I'm supposed to be something else. You're supposed to be the protector. So when the protector hurts me, now what do I do?
Right.
What
wow.
do you
like
do when your protector is the one who's hurting you?
Yeah.
What do you do when you're suffering the abuse at the hands of your black spouse? You can dial 911 like anybody can, but the outcome might not quite be the same.
Different outcome.
Right. And so that burden has been with us for centuries. We're always protecting.
Always.
And it makes it that much more ridiculous that we are the least protected. Not only are we protecting physically, but we're protecting your ego. We don't want you to have to deal with not being able to protect. So we were silent about pain. We were silent about these half white babies we're giving birth to. Clearly, we can't consent. You can't consent. We're enslaved. And when that was made worse by the mistress of the home, you know, by the slave owner's wife, oh, I'm sorry, our children favor. Okay, so you sell mine.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be cute. I can't feed my own, but I have to nurse yours. So all the injustices, we just have to be quiet. Because if we share this pain with our man who's supposed to XYZ, and I know he can't, but I don't even want him to feel bad about not being able to. So I'm just going to be quiet.
Yeah.
So what we've done, we've talked to each other. Sisterhood has, among black women, has been what has saved us.
Because
that pain had to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had to figure something out. We had to do something with it. And that's why I hate to see the lack of it sometimes among us. It's still there.
Lack of sisterhood?
But of course, yes. Yeah. Yes. And just that understanding of how we depend on and how we've survived because of each other.
Yeah.
I hate to see the absence of that. But that's what it has been. And like I said, it goes beyond even physical violence to the point where so many victims of sexual abuse, even when they do tell mama, you know, no, even if it's not that serious, but your daughter already picked up on it. I'm gonna tell my and then they decide, okay, we'll handle it, but we can't tell him to protect him.
Yeah.
So we're
I'm thinking about a comment too. I need to go down there, act the fool. I knew what you was gonna do. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and so if but even that is tolerable. They'll still take you acting a fool, but they just don't want you hurt.
Yeah.
And they definitely don't want to lose you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what everybody struggles with. Break time.
Yeah, before we go on break. See, I love this, man. Before we go on a break, though, I want to give you a question to think about. And that is, because you made a couple of great comments, too, about the sisterhood thing. Because I'll be honest, I think me as a man, I think brotherhood is, of course, it's different, of course, in the sense
yes.
that. But however, I think that we as men hurt each other more than we help each other. It's my opinion, because I do. I think that I'm almost envious of sisterhood. I'm almost envious of it
when
it's done right. And not to say that we as brothers don't have a brotherhood, but I sometimes wonder about the authenticity, the sincerity, the legitimacy of our brotherhoods. Are we really being honest and transparent about what we really could be dealing with?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the real, and again, I'm not trying to make this all, I'm trying to think of the funny word my daughter would say, but I'm not trying to make it all emotional or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I'm just being honest that, I mean, because of course, like, you know, like most of us, we all can deal with certain things can hit us harder than others. But my concern is with us as men sometimes is that even when it comes to us being a protector, if we struggle with that, do we legitimately, like, really do things to try to handle it better? Do we have a legitimate brotherhood? Mm-hmm. So that's my question is mm-hmm. to you, is that how do we fix that? But that's when we come back.
When we
break.
Come back.
That's when we come back. All right, cool. Let me, so y'all, I'm sorry, you've been listening to WRUL, Peace Savannah, Georgia, 107.5, WRU.org, Savannah Soundless Community Radio with the Global Soul. Again, you're listening to Men on the Block. I'm your host, Lorenzo Ross, God's Man. I'm with, I call her Dr. J. So
I'll take it.
Okay. And no, she's not Dr. J, the basketball player.
Nope.
So anyway, we'll be right back in about 3 minutes.
Many critical issues are facing the residents of Savannah and all Americans, including the coronavirus, homeschooling, and the upcoming general election. WRUU has three programs which address these issues: The Common Good on Fridays from 2 to 3 p.m., The Happy Homeschooler on Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m., and We the People, The Constitution Today on Sundays from 8 to 9 p.m. Stay informed about these important issues by tuning in to these programs on WRUU. This portion of WRUU Savannah Soundings programming is brought to you by listeners and the Savannah Safe Jazz Festival. From September 23rd to September 27th, the Savannah Safe Jazz Festival will bring you 16 of the best local and national artists live streamed and broadcast in front of a small, socially distanced studio audience from the Ships of the Sea Maritime Museum's North Garden covered outdoor venue. The festival features Spicy Jazz Saturday, September 26th, with the Emmett Cohen Trio, Buckwheat Zydeco Jr. and his Il Son Parti Band, Jasmine Ghent, and Wycliffe Gordon. More information can be found at savannahjazz.org.
How many times have you heard WRUU's corporate underwriting message? If you remember it, then your potential customers will remember your message as well. We are offering this space to connect corporate and institutional partners with our loyal and active listeners. Underwriting on WRUU is short, so listeners don't tune out. It's exclusive, so your message won't be lost in advertising clutter, and it supports Savannah's only community radio station. For a marketing package to increase your reach beyond traditional media, email underwriting at wruu.org.
Listen, you are listening to WRULP Savannah, Georgia 107.5, WRUL.org, Savannah Sounders Community Radio with a Global Soul. You are listening to Men on the Block, who is tag teaming tonight with the Sister's Perspective.
Yes.
And we are getting it in. I'm telling you, got Dr. J here on the line and stuff. She's going in, man. I said it's online. She's actually in the studio. Woohoo! She's actually in the studio with us on tonight. So just appreciate having her here. Before we went on break, we actually brought up a question. And I hope I remember it all, but I'll just try and say it quickly. And that is to say, how did I word it earlier? Trying to remember how I even worded it earlier. It's just in dealing with the brotherhood, us having a legitimate, authentic, sincere brotherhood like the sisters have, like, you know, and I know, and again, like everybody has concerns or whatever, but you know, I love to see the sisterhood. I mean, because sisters ain't got no problems talking about nothing. Y'all will talk,
right?
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Us as brothers, we like, you know, we got to protect, quote unquote, our manhood. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's certain things on top. So that's my thing, is how, for us as men, you know, how do we get past that, you know, to really deal with the issues at hand? Because again, we have, and that's the other word I use, not trying to emotionalize it,
right?
But yeah, we really have things we deal with, and many of us will with our issues, we self-medicate.
Mm-hmm.
And we self-medicate with various things, you know, not just drugs and alcohol, but, you know, sexuality and just pornography. I mean, just crazy stuff we'll do to self-medicate. So how do we do that? How, for you, you know, how would you say that, you know, we should move, help to deal with that better, with our brotherhood, build our brotherhood better?
Well, I think a part of that might come with maturity. You know, I've been really impressed with Jay-Z over the past few years.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you about anything about his music over recently. In other words, that's not why I say that. I am familiar with his music. American Gangster was one of my favorites. But
I love that way you do that.
But he has been speaking more in recent years about coming into his manhood, about what he used to think manhood was, being a man was, and what he grew to understand it to be. And those open conversations are the types of conversations that young men, or even men his age who have not evolved, need to hear. He talks about that. He has those conversations. And because he is who he is, people listen differently.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same as if somebody from a different genre or a completely different profession or with a completely different history might say it. He has admitted to certain pain. He has talked about how fears have shown up in his marriage. He's just talked about so much. And one thing that struck me was he said one time about how sometimes people don't understand how something as simple as eye contact can be seen as confrontational.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, why are you looking
at
me?
Why are you looking at me like that? Yeah, yeah.
Because he said there's a fear there that if you keep looking at me, you're going to see what I'm trying so hard to hide.
Wow.
And so now I have to make it right. So I've been hearing him. So I'm bringing that up now because in response to your question, in my opinion, just one woman's opinion, the answer is that men have to have conversations.
Yeah.
And you have to go ahead and tell the truth. It's just like the people who came out and made jokes about Meg Thee Stallion, Michael B. Jordan, and others. I think Bun B has come out and said, oh, no, we got you, Meg. We got your back. This is not okay.
Yeah.
You know, they've spoken up about it and
talked
about the fact that she needs to be protected. And the thing I came across most recently, I was going to share it even before you asked that question, is from Vlad TV. And there was a moderator, Jay Connor, and he asked why Megan and other Black women's stories of abuse are met with ridicule and mockery. And I hope I'm saying his name right, but Jedenna, popular artist, he's always in a suit, bright red hair, he's Nigerian, American Nigerian.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he called Tory's alleged actions, as well as the silence surrounding what happened to Meghan and the slander she received, he called those appalling and disgusting.
Mm.
But then he followed that up by highlighting Black men's feelings of powerlessness and identifying that as the root of the issue, which is what you and I have touched on.
Yeah,
that powerlessness rooted way back to when you enslaved me and limited me in every way possible, most damaging as a man. I just can't even do basic man functions,
right?
You limited me to just the physical ones to the point where I'm literally a stud and you're having me create people that'll work for you. Wow. But this is his quote. I think because black men feel consistently powerless, we literally have created a culture of bravado. Sometimes we call it toxic masculinity.
Wow.
And hip hop is like the pinnacle of it. That's why you have certain rappers who are literally all bravado being the ones who are throwing certain insults at Megan Thee Stallion. I think he was talking about 50 Cent because 50's wrong for that. Because we feel deflated, we feel like we have to deflate the women who are next to us.
Wow.
You know how damaging that is? But look at this. This is a panel of men only, moderated by a man. So when you talk about brotherhood, these are the, you all have to create safe spaces for each other to be able to have these conversations. He goes on to say that by challenging black men to that we should challenge black men to reckon with their own power and get rid of the patriarchal ideas that prevent them from being better allies to black women.
Wow.
Now, he needs to be able to say that as a regular guy sitting among other regular guys and have that be a safe space.
Wow.
That's what I'm saying. So just like when we talk about racial issues and we've identified non-black people who supposedly get it and are willing to stand with us in the fight, we've identified them as allies and we want them to speak in those spaces where we're not present.
Right.
Don't just be an ally. Oh, I see. No, but when I'm not there and nobody who looks like me is there and it's all y'all, be an ally there.
By that same token,
when it comes to women, men have to be allies when no women are around.
Yeah.
It can't just be about the women you love, my mother, my daughter, my sister, my wife. No, we are all somebody's daughter. Many of us are mothers. Many of us are sisters. Many of us are spouses. So it can't be that when we are not there, you have to advocate just as strongly. So I really don't even name. This is another show now. I'm going to say this. This is another show. I really don't even want to hear what men have to say about the Cardi B and Meg Thee Stallion video, because you're the same ones who don't. When it's only men, you won't speak against pornography. You won't speak against the language they use about women. You won't say, no, don't call women that. Don't say that. You won't do that. Mm-hmm. You will stay at the bachelor party with the strippers. In fact, sometimes you're the one who hired them. So you can't be that dude in private spaces then publicly be appalled. Appalled at what they're doing. No, sir. But, you know, that's a different show.
It is, too, because, you know, I can get on that
Come
one now
on.
Because I think that at the end of the day, that's not... Even if you want to say it's the majority, it's not all.
Oh, no. I'm not even talking about numbers. Yeah. No, not talking about numbers.
But I get your point mm-hmm. in saying that and stuff. Because I'm appalled. I won't watch the video.
Mm-hmm.
I won't watch it. To this day, I never watched a video that, what's his name? Not Nas. What's the other guy? I forgot his name. Now, he did the video, was years and years ago. He did a video to where, in the video, he took a credit card and swiped it down a woman's butt.
Nelly.
He did that video. Who, at the time, I defended... because he was trying to raise money for leukemia because his sister at the time, I think she ended up passing away from leukemia.
She did.
And so he was trying to actually do something to raise money. And then that stuff came out about his video and all that kind of stuff. People gave him heat or whatever. But I said that, say, I haven't watched that video yet to this very day.
Mm-hmm.
I've not watched that video. Same thing with this whole thing about WAP. Now, right? So I gotta say this real quick. My daughter, I love her so much. We're not in tune, right? Sometimes we're just out of touch. As a teacher, I'll be honest, I probably need to be better in touch with certain things, but I was not in touch with this whole WAP thing. So, of course, I hear the thing about, oh, yeah, there's a TikTok out about it, too. Hadn't seen the TikTok either, right? Yeah, there's a TikTok out of TikTok there. So I didn't know what it meant, and I didn't know. And so I'm like, WAP, you know, like my daughter, we're like thinking, you remember the dance, the WAP?
Yes.
So we're thinking like that, you know, the dance, the wild. We don't know, you know, mm-hmm. and stuff. But then you realize, oh, then you discover, oh, my gosh, this is pretty real.
Pretty explicit.
This is slightly explicit. I'm like, oh, my gosh. But, yeah, so I said again, I'm one of those guys, too, where, you know, I always say the same thing, man. So far from perfection. I've been a teenager. I've been young or whatever and things. So I've made some bad choices along my journey, too. So don't get me wrong. So I'm not standing here in the place of saying, oh, I'm just some perfect guy or whatever. However, I think that I personally think that there should be men, a lot of men that speak out about it. because
speak out about what?
Like that whole video with the WAP. And I know it's another show.
Right. Yeah, no. I'm not saying that they shouldn't, but if you're going to be an ally, if you're going to defend women, don't just do it in the Facebook or Twitter video about, man, I have a daughter. No. Do it when no women are around and the video is not a discussion and you say, hey, man, we don't refer to women that way.
Because I'm being
honest. When you say, hey, no, I'm not down with porn. When you say, hey, no, we don't hit women. When you say, hey, oh, I'm getting married, playing my bachelor party. We're not having any strippers. Yeah. That's not appropriate. Like, be that in those spaces.
Yeah.
Don't just speak about it. Speak out against it. Like now, because that's hypocritical.
Even though I praised her earlier, Megan Thee Stallion. I praised her earlier because I'm like at 25, man, what a way to think at 25 when it comes to, you know, you think about you knowing the significance and the importance of you trying to protect a man. You're already thinking that way. You're right. It's not. It shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't have to be that way.
Right.
But the reality is that it is.
It is.
And so as a result, she's made the choice to do so. It's commendable on that. However, comma. She is the same young lady. Again, I'm not dogging her. Someone to, and I don't know if this is a good comparison. I have a hard time of separating God and politics.
Okay.
Just me personally have a hard time separating the two. So now I have a hard time separating the entertainer from the entertainment. I just do have a hard time doing that. Chadwick Boseman, you know, rest in peace. You know, God bless him and his family. It's hard for me to see him and not see Black Panther.
Yeah.
You know?
He's T'Challa.
Yes. And so and so when you see him, and then you realize all the things he's connected to when it comes to Black Panther. Like we were talking about earlier, Black Panther, 42, Thurgood Marshall, you know,
James Brown.
I mean, all the, you know, it's hard to separate him for that. And so then when you hear his story about how, you know, he's, you know, he was suffering, what, 3 or 4 years with colon cancer and stuff like that. I mean, and battles. And then now these different stories are coming out about his life and some other things that he did. How, I don't know if you heard a story about how he's staying in touch with this young lady who was saying that all she wanted to do was be able to see his movie, you know, Black Panther, stuff like that. How he would stay in contact. I don't know if you heard a story. He stayed in contact with it the whole time while he was making the movie. It's an amazing story.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, stayed in contact with it the whole time he was making the movie because she says she wanted to see it. And he said he felt the need for her to be able to see it. So he talks about that as well. And so it's hard for me to separate, again, the entertainer from the entertainment. I use that one. Now I'm going to use someone a little bit different because that's Chadwick Boseman. There's another guy who I just had in my mind. We talked about Nelly just a minute ago. Now here's the guy who has the video swiping the credit card down the woman's butt. But on the flip side, he's a guy who they were trying to ban from doing concerts at HBCUs when all the while he was doing the concerts to try to raise money for his sister as she was fighting leukemia. So a lot of people didn't know the backdrop of his story while he was doing that. That was the backdrop of his story, was to do that. So the other thing was, so again, people saw him as an entertainer. They saw his entertainment, but yet to me, in his situation, there was no separation of the two because we just see what you're doing, right? So I say that to say with Megan Thee Stallion, it's hard. There's a difficulty for me now personally, and I shouldn't say difficulty, maybe challenge. I don't know if that's even the right word. Here's a woman who I commend on one end, man, her maturity, her responsibility, you know, how she feels necessary for her to be a certain way concerning, how you say his name, Tory Lanez. She felt that responsibility. But on the flip side, your entertainment says you have a WAP. That's tough. Because now I'm wondering, and I'm gonna tell you why. Because because now I'm wondering if that's what you're saying again. If that's what you're saying about yourself.
Where does it say shoot me though?
No, I'm not just talking about from the thug side or whatever. It's tough for me to say because it can sound some type of way, but it basically say, man, is that your value? Is that your worth? That the WAP thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it.
I just had a conversation with another young lady here recently who shared with me about how she's like juggling two guys in her life and she has a child. And I say, like, dude, what if your child look at you doing that? Oh, my child ain't gonna do that. So again, let's use Megan Thee Stallion. She has a daughter?
No, she has no children.
So who has a child? Cardi B has a child?
Cardi B is married with a daughter.
Okay, well. With a daughter. So let's take Cardi B's daughter and let's say again, maybe they're okay, don't get me wrong, but let's just say your daughter seeing you do it, I mean, is that okay? Would you be okay if your daughter was doing that? Not you per se, but just in general. That's the challenge that I have with that, honestly. If you're going to dance and do, and again, that's your thing, that's your entertainment, I'm not dogging or whatever, but I question, it makes me, I get concerned about, what do you think of, gosh, it sucks how I'm going to say this, but what do you think about your wealth, self-worth, self-value when it comes to this is the type of stuff that you're putting out there?
So I want to bring up Plies.
Mm-hmm.
I want to bring up 2 Chainz. Mm-hmm. I want to bring up Rick Ross.
Mm-hmm.
I want to bring up other college educated mm-hmm. Hood rappers. Mm-hmm. For lack of a better term.
And I love you about Rick Ross because I just watched his interview recently.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You'd never guess that they had read anyone's book ever, had degrees mm-hmm. ever. You'd never guess that. But they have. All they did, we have to understand, Puffy was in college mm-hmm. when he found Biggie.
Mm-hmm.
Tupac went to a performing arts high school. Like, these are not dummies.
Yeah.
All they did was identify a way to make money. Mm-hmm. Yes, it came with a certain image or whatever, but they simply identified a way to make money. That's all that was. So, they weren't living a life. They weren't this, they weren't that. Now, I know many others were,
yeah.
and I know at some point they probably started living the life.
Mm-hmm.
But prior to that, it's like, hey, I'm in college. I also can rap. Or whatever. And so I'm going to do this to earn money. That's mm-hmm. all that is.
See, I can't separate these two.
Well, to some degree, they don't even want us to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're selling me a message through your music, I'm supposed to believe that's your real life, right?
Right.
I'm supposed to believe that. But, and that's what convinced me, and that's what makes it real. I get that when you're 20. But it, like you said, half a century or closer, or even over 30, let's just, we get that. As much as we will, if we ever met him in life, we give him the Wakanda sign
mm-hmm.
and say Wakanda forever and call him T'Challa. Mm-hmm. We know that's Chadwick Boseman.
Mm-hmm.
We get that it's a role. Mm-hmm. We get that
you and
as
I
mature.
Do. Yeah.
All mature people, let's just say over 25, since they mm-hmm. say that's when the brain is fully developed.
Mm-hmm.
We get that. So if someone called Meg Thee Stallion a name that she's called herself, I could see where you might be like, well, I mean, she called herself, you see, but it can't be because you present yourself like this sexually, I get to do, say anything to you.
I'm not saying that at all.
Okay, but,
no,
I'm not saying that you're suggesting it, mm-hmm. but I think what you're saying is that you can see how some people might feel like, you don't respect yourself, what, I'm supposed to hold you?
Oh, no. What I'm saying, I'm not even saying it that far. I'm just saying from her perspective, when I look at her, I commend her on the one side.
Right.
With her maturity and her thought process. But on the flip side, I'm saying, why are you selling yourself short like that? That's my opinion.
Is she?
To me, she is. To me, you're selling. Let's say you brought up Rick Ross, right?
She has money.
Hold up. You brought up Rick Ross.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's in college.
But what does it cost you? That's my question about
tuition
it.
That she can afford.
No. My thing. No,
I'm just messing with you.
No,
I know what you're saying.
What is it? Just like you brought up Rick Ross. Mm-hmm. I just watched Rick Ross recently in the past 2 years. He did an mm-hmm. interview with Louis Farrakhan. Mm-hmm. It was an amazing interview he does with him, and he goes back and says about how he know he shouldn't have been doing the things that he did.
Mm-hmm.
He goes back and says that.
But you know how he started out though.
No, I don't know.
He was a corrections officer.
Oh yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah.
He sold
an idea.
He sold the street life.
And what happens, and this is my, and I'm glad you're saying that. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not picking. Again, I understand, quote unquote, the game.
Yeah.
I get it.
Of course.
I get the system, the game. I get all of that. The challenge that I have for me when it comes to that, when we're selling the game, who we're selling it to and the people that we're selling it to, are we selling them a false reality that you can have this suit if you do what I did to get here? And then do we want that 14-year-old girl, that 15-year-old girl, or that 17-year-old girl who has a child and she's hustling around 2 different boys, whatever, and you have, a 3-year-old daughter who's, you know what I mean? Do we want to sell that idea to them that you can live? And again, to them, I personally think we are.
How? When did we start? Did we start with Millie Jackson in the 60s?
I think we did.
Did we start? Okay. So it's not new. And even through the generations.
Does that mean it's not right?
Oh, no. I'm not suggesting right or wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm saying they should not be more strongly persecuted for it. And we have to recognize that even with the existence of a Millie Jackson or whoever else might have been that singer, right? Mm-hmm. You still had decent women and not so decent and everything in between. There's nothing that's going to change that. The same with men. And I'm not saying that this mm-hmm. is small and this isn't important, because I do believe a race can rise no higher than its woman. Mm-hmm. A race can rise no higher than its woman. Mm-hmm. Men need to remember that. And it can't just be about the small group of women you love. It has to be about all women. Yes, there will be girls who are influenced by her and might go the wrong way, just as there are men who have ended up literally locked up out here in the streets listening to Snoop and Dr. Dre a few years back, and NWA and F the Police and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
it's just as real. Yeah. Music has an impact, but family does too.
Yeah, but that's a big
impact. That's where that responsibility primarily lies.
So we consider.
So I can put that in context. I can listen to the same song as the woman sitting next to me, rock out to the beat, and go about my life making good decisions. Whereas she's like, oh, this is the blueprint. This is what I'm supposed to be. The difference is family. Yeah. The difference is I can put it in context in the way that she cannot.
So in the same way that you said that what the difference is family and stuff like that, right? That's what you're saying? In the same way that she had the responsibility to know that I commend her on when it came to the fact of how she stood up and support, or not, I shouldn't say stuff, so she protected, that's the word we use, how she protected, you know, Tory. I can't remember his name.
Tory Lanez.
How she protected him. I think there's a certain responsibility that we too have to play in the entertainment world as well when it comes to what we feed our kids because of our breakdown in the family. We consider, in particular, the breakdown of the Black family in America. I mean, everybody, to me, it's not unrealistic, but it is unrealistic to think that everybody's going to play a part. However, I think everybody should be able to play a part in helping heal our broken families that we do have. You brought the comment earlier up about how many of us are in prison, you know, in particular, our Black men, how many Black men are in prison. I was in a conversation yesterday and somebody, or the day before yesterday, someone who you know, I was in a conversation with this particular person who was, you know, making a comment about saying about how many Black men are in prison, right? And how the numbers are this, that, and a third. And he was pinning, oh, you don't know this guy, how he was pinning it on the fact of them committing crimes. Well, I said, that's an unfair assessment when you consider the war on crime that they said, the three strikes rule and all that kind of stuff, you know, whatever your third strike was, you were going away for 10 years. I mean, dude, I say you can't just lay it on the fact that this guy committed a crime. I think you have to look beyond that. In the same token, we consider the breakdown of our family because of our men who are in prisons. What a massive role our entertainers, athletes can play when we're talking about bringing and helping to heal our culture and our land. They can play a significant role.
We're going to be addressing that on some upcoming shows. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
So again, when I consider her, since I know we're talking about Megan Thee Stallion, you know, because she's classy and boozy and ratchet.
She's a savage.
Because she's a savage, right? Yeah. And again, I want to make this explicitly clear. I am not dogging her.
No, of course
for
not.
What she's done and how she's doing. I mean, awesome. Commendable. I got it. You know, I'll be honest. When I was watching the BET Awards, I had to turn away when the thing, I was like, dude, I got virgin eyes. I can't.
It's too much.
That's my phrase, right? It's too much. I can't tell that, right? But I really did. I couldn't take it, you know, and stuff. But so, that is so funny to me. But again, I just think that there's a responsibility that we all need to take in particular. And that's why I was glad you brought that up about those rappers, those men in particular, because a lot of those guys now are going back saying, man, you know, back in the day, you remember it was a Master P. Remember him? Mm-hmm. Him and Luke Skywalker? What, Luke? What
Uncle Luke.
Uncle
yeah.
Luke, right? Yeah. Both of those guys had went back too and said the same thing I'm saying
Two
now.
Live crew.
Yeah. Saying the same thing. Man, what was I thinking about? You know, because they didn't want their children, who they end up having too, they didn't want their children to go on to do
I'm
what
sorry.
They did.
I saw a recent video uploaded where Uncle Luke was still on stage. So I can't do that with him. But I will say this. Okay. And I will say this about the statistics about men in jail. There's something called the Innocence Project. the wow. show goes fast when it's good. Right?
I know, right? I just let it turn. That yeah. clock is not right on the no. wall, but go ahead.
There's something called the Innocence Project, and the majority of people who've been freed have been black men, which is a huge indication of the number of men who are locked up and they did not commit the crimes that they're locked up for. Wow. So anybody who tries to have a conversation with you about, oh, it's because they're guilty. No, ma'am. Maybe somewhere else, but yeah, not in America. Not America. In America, being incarcerated does not mean you're guilty. It means they need workers. They need free labor. It means that the government has a contract to fill this private prison. It means. It could mean a whole bunch of things. Other than you are actually guilty of a crime.
I do want to say this because you know I love to argue, right? You know that about me now.
Sure, come on.
Yeah, because I ain't scared of you.
Okay.
I just want to read this quote because you were talking about Jadeen earlier. He said this. He says, I don't know if you read this part of that article. He says this, I think that we'd actually get to a point where we're supporting women more than throwing them under the bus and making ridiculous memes in situations that are devastating, not just for women like Megan, but women all over the world that nobody gets to hear their story. He made that comment. I thought that was really profound. Listen, right. Appreciate you being here.
Yes, you know I appreciate that, you being on the sister perspective.
So
yes.
Listen, you've been listening to Men on the Block on WRU LP Savannah, Georgia, 107.5, WRU.org, Savannah Sounds Community Radio with the Global Soul. Just want to say that the viewpoints expressed in the preceding program are not necessarily those of WRU's license holder or his staff. Listen, thanks you guys for listening on tonight and everything. Listen, get the chance. Please, Saturday nights, 8 o'clock, The Sister Perspective. They be going in. The three docs be getting it in.
Yes.
Y'all know my favorite doc is Dr. J because I know her and I work with her every day. But anyway, if you get a chance, please listen to them. Also, we're following right behind them at 9 o'clock, Men on the Block. Listen, look forward to seeing you all next week. I'm hearing from you guys on next week as well, too. Sorry about some technical difficulties we had a little bit earlier, but, hey, we were here. We made it through. Listen, y'all have a great week. Don't forget to vote.
That's
Wear your mask.
Yes.
Protect yourselves and your loved ones. All right. Love you all much. Peace.